Bezer Shem Mizbeach, we begin Perek Shvi, the seventh chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Nechalos and the Laws of Inheritance, Sefer Mishpot, and Book of Judgments, where in this Perek we begin the discussion regarding what happens if we don't know where this person is regarding the inheriting of his properties. Where in this Perek we discuss specifically regarding the properties of this missing person and regarding someone that is presumed to be dead. As Rambam begins Halacha Aleph regarding the trustworthiness of testimony regarding the death of this Meirish. Eina Yerusha Neuchlin, the inheritors do not inherit, until they bring a clear proof that the one who is bequeathing the properties to them has died. But if they hear that he died, or they just hear some Gentiles that are just innocently talking, even though those would be situations that would allow the wife to get married that as a widow, but then tells Ksubasa, and she would even be able to collect her Ksuba because of that. But the inheritors do not inherit based on such words. And the reason that is because you cannot remove money from its chazaka only with two witnesses. By the marriage of a woman and subsequently her ksuba, that was a leniency of the sages that she should not remain aguna, forlorn and forsaken. But for Yerusha, that would not be sufficient. Halacha beis. Ha'isha shabas v'amra. A woman that comes along and she says, Meis bali, my husband died. So again, although she'd be believed, and she could get remarried and she could even collect her ksuba from the husband's estate, but the inheritors would not be able to enter into the inheritance based on her words. If she says, Meis bali, my husband died, and they died without any children, and therefore she does yibum to his brother, so then the Yavim could go and enter into the Nachla based on what she's saying, because Shemit says in the Pasuk, Yokam Hashem Ochav Ames, that the Yavim, not only does he marry his late brother's wife, but he also takes over the estate of the dead person. But he come, and he did, so therefore he's going to get it. But in general, the Yerusha cannot be with less than two witnesses. Someone drowned in water that there's no end. You don't see the end of it, so you can't tell if the person stayed underwater because you can't see all four sides. Now witnesses come and testify that he drowned in front of them. And again, maybe he came out somewhere, but they saw him drown. And his memory has been lost. No one knows what happened to him. So initially, in this situation, we actually do not allow the woman to initially get remarried because we don't have definite proof that he's dead. However, in this situation, actually, the inheritors do get the ability to inherit based on what they're saying because we do have two witnesses, albeit not definitively, but enough for this halacha. So do we have witnesses that witnesses who see that he fell in Lagoy Barayis and made him to a pit of lions and of leopards. I should tell that they see him hanging and the birds were eating from him. I should nitka by Muhammad Bamesa where he was stabbed in war and he died. I should that he was killed. But the Lakeuta fun them, they just didn't recognize his face. But they were defining characteristics in his body. The Kiray something they recognized those signs. So regarding all these things and similar types of things, if his memory is totally lost afterwards, I mean no one knows what happened with him, no one ever hears anything about him, then they could go down to the inheritance with this testimony. Although that they would not allow his wife to get remarried, says the Rambam, because I say they weren't stringent in these types of situations, only because if a woman to get remarried, even without witnesses that she's committing the sin, it would be adultery. It would be a punishment of karas. So regarding that, we're stringent. We said we don't have definite proof that he's dead. Regarding monetary law, so if witnesses testify regarding things shechaskasim lemisa, which presumably seem like he's dead, they see these things, let's say drowning out in the ocean, and his memory's lost, and they're hearing that he's dead, that would be enough for them to inherit based on what they're saying. And because the Ma'isim B'chol Yoyim says, Ram, this is stories every single day, but they did in all types of courts. We never heard anyone who would disagree on this halacha that would allow them to inherit. Halacha Dalad, regarding the assets of someone who's missing, which the inheritors had already taken possession of. Shavu Shenishba, a man who was taken as captive. And they hear that he died in captivity. So the Yardu Yerushal Menachla, so his narratives went to take over the inheritance. But they divide amongst themselves. So even though this was done by themselves, we don't take it away from them. The same thing as someone who is a fugitive, he runs away because of some danger to his life. In those situations, we let them maintain it. But if someone left with his own willingness, and then when he's away, they hear that he died, the yardiyos from the chasav b'chalakum, and then so inheritors go down to his properties and they divide it. In that situation, we take it away from them. Until they bring proof that the one who's bequeathing them has died. So there's a fundamental difference when he leaves on his own, or when he was taken captive, or something that was that would tell us that there would be indicating factors that he couldn't tell us things because of the situation. Then we hear that he's dead. That's going to be different than when he leaves on his own. When he leaves on his own, he didn't say anything. Then there's reason for us to believe that he didn't want anyone to take over until we have definite proof that he's dead. Halacha hey, regarding the assets of someone who's missing, who went out in a situation of danger. So Shabbos and Ishba, regarding someone who's taken captive, or he ran away because of danger to his life. So Chayav and Beznel is Asik b'Nechseim. The courts are obligated to be engaged in their properties to protect them, that other people should not take possession of it without the not according to the law. So Kitzaros, and so what do the courts do? So kol matatlin yu mifkod miyad neman. All the movable items should first be deposited in the possession of a trustworthy person. Al pi bezin, based on the order of the court. Umeridun techa kokais, and who do we bring into his real estate, to his properties? Akreivim nadurin liyerusha, his relatives that are fit to inherit. K'dei labed es hakokais, to work the land. Ulesasik b'mem, and to be engaged with them at sheivadu shemeso ay sheivayu, until we find out that he's dead, or until he actually comes. Now, look, Shiyavay Hashavay. Now, when the captive actually ends up coming back, Vabereach, and the one who fled comes back, so Shaman Ela Kareivim Shahudur. So these relatives who had been brought down to work the land, we evaluate Masha Asu or Masha Achlu, what they performed and what they consumed. Kamin the Kalaris and Shalayim Din, like all the halach of sharecroppers in that country, and that's how they get paid. Now, the question is, Belomala Yimidu Bezna Betrapas Leilim, why doesn't the court always just bring down the caretaker who doesn't take any wages like the way they do for orphans? Whether removable items or whether regarding the real estate. Until the owner comes, or until they know definitively that he died. Either way, because the courts are not obligated to appoint caretakers for adults that are intelligent humans. So although, yes, the circumstances were that we have to protect him because he had to leave, not on his own willingness, but ultimately, adults are responsible to compensate, unlike that of orphans, and therefore, we have, let's say, the relatives doing like sharecroppers, but not just volunteer caretakers. Halacha vav, nishba hashavay. Regarding the man who was taken captive, uvarach masukan, or the one who ran away because of danger. And v'nich kamaliktzer, now he left over a standing grain ready to be harvested. Ovanov liktzer, or grapes ready to be harvested, or tamam liktzer, or the dates ready to be harvested, v'zeisim limsik, or the olives ready to be harvested, which each one has their own terminology regarding their harvest. So best in Gerdin L'chassam. So what they actually do is, unlike we said before, the properties we have, the relatives go down. Here the court goes down to this state. Umamid l'mabatrapas, and they appoint caretakers. B'kaitzer, u'baitzer, b'gaidr, ma'izik, old terminologies of harvesting regarding whatever the product is. U'maychir ha'peres, and they sell the produce. U'manichim d'meyim, and then they leave the monies. Im'shara metaltlin, with all the other movable items, b'bezin in the courts. And v'achar kach merid na'kom l'chassam. And only then do they bring down the relative to go take over the property. And the reason for that is Shem Yeritchil, because if he would go down initially, as we said, in generally regarding the property, Shem Yitlish Ela Peters, he might just detach these fruits, this produce, Shem Kitlushim, which they're already like almost detached, they're ready to be harvested, but Yechlois, and he's going to consume them because he's going to say, oh, because of this, I'm working, whatever, it's not really property, and he would have been Meir Heter, and therefore we have to first get it done and then bring him in. The same thing is regarding courtyard, the fundakoyis, and regarding motels, vachanuisa suis lasachar, and stores which are made for rental, where the einatuchen abayda, veloy toydach, it doesn't need any work and doesn't need any effort. Vein odom nois and nois and barises, and moreover, people don't usually give it as sharecropping. In those situations, eimarin lam yedish, we don't have an inheritor come down to take over that store or similar types of things, that motel, because shadei gevasachar baichel, he's just going to collect the rent and he's going to consume it. And we don't need him to perform anything. Rather, what do we do? Best mamidlam gabai, the court appoints a caretaker. Via sachar munach bevezin, and whatever rent, he's just an appointee, he doesn't have to really do anything. And just whatever rent will be munach bevezin will be placed in the courts, until either they bring proof that he died, or vital shalai, or when the guy actually comes back himself and he collects his rent that was collected for him by the court. Halachazain, the imaridna kurav la'ilm. Now, we never bring down a relative to take over El Lasadas, only for fields, Uleganas, and for gardens, or Kuram, and vineyards. Ukayetzvim, things like that. Shayyia Behem Kadis, where then we want him to be like a shearcropper. And those are the types of entities that we usually shearcrop. Kadeshalifs to do that, there shouldn't be a loss to these fields. Nimtzu brudim in the sham, they're going to be fallow and desolate. But other things we don't want, because then he might actually consume, saying, "Oh, I'm a relative," inappropriately. Halacha Ches continues regarding the property of this person who is missing, but he left willingly. Mishiyotz lo das. If someone left with his own willingness, v'nich nachas, when he left over his properties, v'ein yidu lehechan halach, no one knows where he went. V'lo imo eder, no one knows what happened to him. So imarid and kodem nachas, if you don't bring down the relative to his property, v'im yarad, but if he did go down, in mesal kanoiz, you don't remove him. V'im bezin tzichin letabel by, neither does the court have to get involved. V'lo hamal apatrapas in the point, the caretaker, lo lekarka, but limental, not for real estate, not for mobile aims. And the reason that it is, why it's different before we said we do this, is shuli ledaiti, is because he left with his own willingness. When he left his property, so we don't have to get involved. Now, and how do we resolve the law of these properties? So, the movable items where it happens to be right now when he left, those people continue to hold on to them until this person who went missing comes back and claims it, or until he dies and they can prove it, and then the inheritors go and claim it from that person. Now, regarding properties, if he has a bunch of real estate, so anyone that he left where there's someone who's dwelling over there in that courtyard or that store when he left willingly, and he just went MIA, in lichim menesacher. So from that person, you're not going to collect wages, you're not going to collect the rent, because we don't know what the story is, and we're going to leave it. Maybe the guy's dead, maybe not. But so they came shayben aris, and regarding a field or a vineyard where there was a sharecropper, so we leave it as it was. That guy's working the field until he comes. Now, regarding fields or vineyards where he had left it where it wasn't being worked, so you leave it not being worked, even though it's gonna, the ground's going to get ruined. Because he himself willingly caused a loss to his money. And a lost object which was willingly done like that, we have no obligation from the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda to go ahead and return it. Now, if they hear that he died, so now the courts, they take out all his movable items from all those who are in possession until now. And now we put it by those who are trustworthy based on what the courts are saying. And we bring down the relative to the fields and the vineyards to be like sharecroppers, because we heard that he died. We don't know definitively, but that's already giving us clues that we have to start taking care of it. Either until there's a definite proof that's brought that he's dead, then they inherit it. Or until he actually comes and really the rumors were not true. And then again, they'll do it like a sharecropper, but that'll maintain it. But that's only until we hear that he died. Up until then, we say, well, he left willingly. After that, well, we say, okay, well, that's already going to be a different situation.